Hello and welcome to Radio Prague. I'm Dieter Asiedu and we start the program with a brief news bulletin. Czech President Václav Klaus has signed the state budget law for 2005. The law envisages a deficit of 84 billion Czech crowns. However, opposition parties and most economists say the deficit will be much higher, over 100 billion, once the state has covered the losses of the Czech bailout agency Česká konsolidační agentura, which primarily ensures the privatization of state-owned companies. Mr. Klaus also signed an amendment to the income tax law on Wednesday. The new law introduces tax relief for families with children, joint taxation of married couples, and faster depreciation of assets for businesses. The government says it would help families and companies save tens of billions of crowns in the coming years. The European Commission has concluded that the Czech Republic, along with Cyprus, Malta, Poland and Slovakia, are on track for correcting their excessive deficits. In July, the European Council recommended they take effective action to control their budget deficits. Economic and Monetary Affairs Commissioner Almunia said on Wednesday he was pleased to see the recommendations taken seriously, adding that they are appropriate for periods of high growth, such as those experienced by the EU member states in question. Taking into account the initial level of the deficit, the Council recommended that the excessive deficit be corrected by 2008 in the Czech Republic. Czech breweries expect to export a record 2.4 million hectolitres of beer this year. The chairman of the Czech Beer and Malt Association, Jan Veselý, said on Wednesday this would be up by 12% from 2003, adding that breweries are preparing a campaign to promote their beer abroad. Germany, Slovakia, Great Britain and the USA are the main importers of Czech beer. On average, exports rise by between 5 and 20% year on year. The Czech Cabinet has approved an agreement with the Prague-based broadcaster Radio for Europe, Radio Liberty, which sees the station's headquarters remaining in the city centre until the end of the year 2007. Since the September 11th attacks on the United States, many Prague citizens fear the US-funded RFERL next to the National Museum at the top of Wenceslas Square could be a security threat, as further terrorist attacks against US interests are possible. And a quick look at the weather. Thursday will have overcast skies with rain and daytime temperatures will range from 2 to 6 degrees Celsius. I'm Dieter Asiedu and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague with me, Peter Smith. Coming up, we look ahead to Christmas here in the Czech Republic, where, as many of you know, it's the humble carp that is served up as the traditional meal. More on that in a moment.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Crosby, but perhaps dream is all we can do. We glance at the Christmas weather to find out. And we'll have a festive roundup of all the latest business news here in the Czech Republic. Please don't go away. So let's begin with one of the most enduring Czech Christmas traditions, carp served on Christmas Eve. Well, Jan Velinger joined the carp sellers on the streets of Prague as they tried to handle the Christmas rush.
A Czech carp meets a swift end under the club and knife of a Prague seller, one of many on Prague streets hawking the traditional Christmas fish ahead of Christmas Eve. The seller, whose name is Josef, tells me Czechs have been eating carp for generations. It simply wouldn't be Christmas without carp on the plate.
These carp come from the famous ponds near Třeboň. We've got about 5 tanks which aren't completely full yet, but will be by Christmas. There are more than 200 kilos per tank. That's around 100 fish.
The ideal weight of a carp ranges from 2 to 2.5 kilos. After being weighed, the fish is quickly dispatched. Of course, it doesn't feel a thing. The rules on this are very precise.
We stun the carp with a quick blow from a club and then cut through the spine. It's dead within 2 seconds, and that's it. You're done.
but not all have their fish killed on the spot. Some families, especially those with small children, still prefer taking their fish home, presumably to watch it swim around in the tub for a few days. Our seller, Josef, however, feels there is less and less of this, and he says that's a good thing.
Some families take their carp home to leave it in the tub for a few days before they kill it. I don't think that's good for the fish. The water's too warm. Carp need to be in the cold. I think the fish suffers if it's left in a bathtub for 3 or 4 days.
We spoke to some people on the street and asked them how they felt about eating carp.
I have carp every year. Every year it's carp.
Ty kapři jsou dobrý. Máme zase třeboň, že jo? Jsou slavný a dobrý. Hlavně teda ty kapři jsou všichni dobrý.
The carp are good, especially the ones from Třeboň. They're famous and taste good, because they don't really have the fishy smell.
One elderly lady we spoke with did remember a time carp were hard to get.
Za války jsme měli koňský maso.
Yes, it was during the war. No carp. We had to eat horse meat instead.
By contrast, there are some families that continue to go without. The difference is they do so willingly, granting their carp a reprieve instead of eating it, setting it free in the muddy waters of the Vltava River. But sellers like Josef tell us attempts like this are a lost cause. Such fish never live for long.
No, myslím si, že většinou už moc lidí to nedělá.
Fewer people now try to free their fish. Most people know that carp are a creature of the pond and have learned that if they release them into the river, the fish will soon die.
Řece v životě nebyl a když se tam pustí, tak je do měsíce po něm.
So, save your carp for Christmas dinner, and as always, do mind the bones.
Jan Wellinger there with a fishy report. Moving on though, the weather here in Prague isn't looking too Christmassy at the moment. It's cloudy and around 5 degrees Celsius. But can people expect a white Christmas this year? And if not in Prague, how about elsewhere in the country? Martin Mikulay spoke to weather forecaster Jan Pavlík and began by asking what the weather was like in the mountains.
In the Czech mountains falls snow with rain. I think we have enough snow for skiing or generally for winter sports in our mountains, but the snow will be a little wet or frozen in the next days.
Is it going to change next week? Do you know already about the New Year's Eve? Is it going to be different for the other weekend?
We expect some cooling in the beginning of the next week, but then the weather will be again very similar to the weather of today.
Is this typical weather for the Czech Republic? Is this typical Christmas weather? Or how common is it in the Czech Republic, for example in Prague, to have white Christmas?
It is quite seldom phenomenon to have deep snow cover on Christmas. But sometimes I think about 50% of cases we have only little snow. So this year the Christmas will be warmer than on the average.
So usually there is no snow for Christmas in the Czech Republic. Was it different, for example, 30 years ago or some time ago?
Because global warming takes place. In the past we had in the Czech Republic or in Czechoslovakia more snow in winter and, of course, also during Christmas. The warming which takes place is about 1 degree of Celsius. And because the precipitation around zero in the winter time are quite frequent, the consequence is that if the temperature rises only for 1 degree of Celsius, then the snow can change for rain.
Well, the weather forecaster Jan Pavlík there. But what were winters like in the Czech Republic, the former Czechoslovakia as well, many years ago or a few decades back? Well, we spoke to the philosophy professor Erazim Kohák.
I remember the winters of my childhood as remarkably free of automobiles. we boys would gather, if in Kostelní ulice on Letná, where I lived, an automobile would park, we would all gather around it as a curiosity. But there were not enough of them to interfere with our sledding. And I remembered the Prague as covered with snow, and Vltava as frozen, and snow swept away so that people could not ordinarily skate on Vltava.
And where on the Vltava was the main place for skating, or was it everywhere?
It was not everywhere. It was specifically by what was then Smetanovo náměstí. It used to be called Narejiště before it became the square of Empress Zita in 1917. But there was one place there where, as a man, always swept the snow away. One could go skating there.
And how many people at a time would you see on the Vltava skating?
I was too young to count that high.
Wow, that was the philosophy professor Erazim Kohak talking to Ian Willoughby. Now, for many readers around the world, Josef Lada's illustrations of the good soldier are inextricably linked to the famous character created by Jaroslav Hašek. Josef Lada did far more than just illustrate Hašek's novel, and his idealizings of carol singers and family gatherings are for many in this country an enduring symbol of Czech Christmases. Ian Willoughby has more.
Josef Lada was born just outside Prague in 1887, in the tiny village of Rusice. His father was a cobbler, and the family were poor, and little Josef lost an eye when he fell out of his cradle and landed on one of his father's knives. But Lada seems to have had a happy childhood and loved Christmas. Years later, he recalled with relish the traditional foods his family prepared and said he loved their small and modestly decorated Christmas trees more than wealthier boys whose trees reached the ceiling. Josef Lada was sent to Prague to be an apprentice, but art was his passion, and he was paid the princely sum of 20 crowns when, at just 17, his first illustrations were published by a magazine called Mai. 2 years later, he had his fateful first meeting with Jaroslav Hašek. Decades later, Hašek's The Good Soldier Švejk and His Fortunes in the World War would be most people's first introduction to Lada's distinctive art, at least outside the Czech Republic. In this country, however, many people associate Josef Lada with his wonderful Christmas paintings, many of which have been appearing on Czech Christmas cards for generations. Typical images include large families in simple but cozy rooms. The men smoke pipes, while rosy-faced children marvel at nativity scenes. Other typical Lada Christmas figures include carol singers and children building snowmen or sledging. Invariably, there's snow all around, and while it may be dark, the village looks calm and pretty, and the wooden houses warm and welcoming. Lada's Christmas paintings remained popular during the communist era, but sometimes the authorities censored their Christian imagery. His grandson, also called Josef, says in the 1970s there were Lada calendars in which religious figures were removed and replaced by, for instance, a bowl of apples. Now, however, all of his wonderful Christmas illustrations are exactly as he painted them, and the chances are that if you receive a Christmas card from the Czech Republic, it may well feature one of Josef Lada's timeless images.
Ian Willoughby there. Now, a strange thing happened on my way into the office today. I noticed a very interesting thing in the lobby of the main building here at Czech Radio. There was a lit candle there, and a couple of children were waiting in a queue to light their candles from it, as if they wanted to take a bit of the light with them. Well, I'm going to ask my colleague, Martin Mikolaj, to explain to us all what was the significance of all this.
Well, what you have seen, Peter, is the so-called Bethlehem light. It is a sort of symbolic piece, Christmas light, that comes from Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. The idea to distribute it originated in the Austrian public broadcaster, ORF, and each year a child from Austria collects the light from the grotto in Bethlehem, and then it is distributed to delegations from across Europe who take it back to their own countries for use at ecumenical services.
So there is some sort of religious significance to this then?
Well, it is not only used at ecumenical services. Many people like to have their little light from Bethlehem at home for Christmas. And it is interesting if you consider how anxiously people preserved the little flame that undertook the long way from Bethlehem, from Israel. And it is really a symbol of peace and friendship because it is passed from one person to another.
Well, how then can I go about getting my own Bethlehem light?
Well, if you want, or if anybody from our listeners would like to, you can go to the main Czech radio building in Vinohradská Street and light your little candle that you bring with you. You can light it from the Bethlehem light, and it is available there all Thursday and will be available also on Friday until 6 p.m.
Okay, bring your candles along and light up. Thank you, Martin. Well, we all hope that our program today has been putting you in that Christmas mood and that you'll find time to tune in to Radio Prague's special programs over the next few days. You're listening to a school choir there from Prague's Akademické Gymnasium, one of the oldest grammar schools in the world. On Christmas Eve, David Vaughan brings us a special interview with the students who are currently practicing Antonín Dvořák's choral music and the spirituals that inspired him. And on Christmas Day, we'll have a special festive edition of Magazine and also a special letter from Prague from Roman Catholic priest Josef Blaha. And we'll also be bringing you a taste of Czech Christmas foods.
So it's been...
It's been 20 minutes.
And what do we have to do now?
And now we're just going to turn them so that they brown evenly and cook evenly because most ovens don't have even heat. Well, you can see the ones in the back are a bit darker. See? They look great. I think this is our best batch yet, which is great.
And they've grown quite a bit.
Yep. I think actually it looks like perfect panochka.
Well, it takes perhaps an American woman to cook that one, but Eric Martin will be finding out how to make a traditional vanochka. Then, on St. Stephen's Day. Našli, nenašli, a famous scene from one of the nation's favourite fairy tales, Pišná princezna. That and other much-loved Czech fairy tale films will be the subject of a special feature on Boxing Day. And we also visit a farm without leaving Prague. So do try and tune into that and all of our other Christmas programmes over the next few days. But even at Christmas, business life goes on, as we find out now from Brian Kennedy and Business Report.
Hello and welcome to Business Report. I'm Brian Kennedy. Thirsty for beer? Would you prefer a Budweiser, a Podjavitskoy Budvar, or perhaps a Bud? In our top story this week, we look at the latest development in the 100-years-old trademark war between American and Czech brewers. But first, here's Jan Wellinger with a quick look at the week's top business news.
The European Union wants the Czech government to give up its custom of retaining golden shares in state-owned companies considered to be family jewels. The practice allows the government to maintain some influence in the formerly state-owned companies after their privatization. According to the European Court of Justice, however, golden shares are incompatible with EU directives on the free movement of capital. President Václav Klaus has signed the state budget law for 2005. The law envisages a deficit of 84 billion Czech crowns. However, opposition parties and most economists say the deficit will be much higher, over 100 billion crowns, once the state has covered the losses of the Czech bailout agency, Česká konsolidační agentura, which primarily ensures the privatization of state-owned companies. A Czech court said this week that mobile operator Eurotel must pay a fine of 48 million crowns, more than $2 million, which was imposed for anti-competitive practices by the Anti-Monopoly Office in May 2002. Eurotel was fined for agreeing with a competitor, Radio Mobile, to charge their clients less for calls between the two operators than for calls to the third operator, Český Mobil. Czech breweries expect to export a record 2.4 million hectoliters of beer this year, up by 12% from the previous year. The chairman of the Czech Association of Breweries and Malt Houses, Jan Veselý, said that in 2004, exports of Czech beer to neighboring Germany and Slovakia, as well as to the UK and the US, rose from 5 to 20%. Meanwhile, breweries are preparing a campaign to promote their beer abroad and plan to ask the EU to grant Czech beer the geographical indication of origin, České pivo, Czech beer, Mr. Veselý said.
Thanks, Jan. Speaking of beer, Budějovický Budvar, the only major brewery still in the hands of the Czech state, has been locked in a lengthy battle with the U.S. company, Anheuser-Busch, the world's largest brewer, over the Budweiser name for nearly 100 years. The trademark dispute continues to be fought in courtrooms throughout the world. Well, the American brewery Anheuser-Busch began using the name Budweiser, the German name for Budvar's hometown of Český Budějovice, in 1876, so there's no surprise in that. The American brewer got a nice Christmas gift, though, from the World Trade Organization. This week, the WTO ruled that the European Union can only protect existing regional food names, thus preventing the 25-member bloc, which the Czechs joined in May this year, from extending its registration system further. The chief executive of Anheuser-Busch called it an important victory for the brewery, as it means that geographic translations cannot be translated. So Budweiser, or Bud Beer, which is registered in 20 of the 25 EU nations, cannot be challenged by Budějovický Budvar, which claims translation of its beer, Budvar. Got all that straight? Well, to make it a little bit clearer, here's Claude Veron-Reville, a spokeswoman for the EU Trade Commissioner. She says that while the U.S. was pleased with the ruling, it is not a simple victory.
No clear-cut victory or defeat in a WTO panel. A WTO panel is a complex legal analysis. And it is true that some technical points of the panel found in favor on the U.S. For example, the U.S. expressed satisfaction because on the technical issue regarding the procedure to have their own geographical indication protected in the EU, the WTO said that we should clarify our laws.
The EU system, for example, limits Kalamata olives, Welsh lamb, and Camembert from Normandy to their original origins. Only since the early 1990s, however, have foreign producers been able to register their products under the EU system of geographical indications. But now Idaho potatoes or Florida oranges are protected under that system.
In the case of the Czech beer, the WTO clearly ruled that American Budweiser beer cannot exclude Budějovický pivo sold under the Czech name in the EU.
In an interview with Radio Prague after the resolution of a previous case, Budvar's public relations director noted that at any given time, several dozen disputes between the two were underway.
Brian Kennedy there with Business Report. And we almost are out of time here on Radio Prague. But as ever, I'll just give you a reminder of our address. It is Radio Prague, 12099, Prague 2, the Czech Republic. Once again, Radio Prague, 12099, Prague 2. Prague to the Czech Republic. And the email is english@radio.cz. english@radio.cz. Please do write in to us about absolutely anything that you hear on the programme, or indeed just about life here in the Czech Republic. Anyway, that's it from me, Peter Smith. I'm going to leave you with Bing Crosby and a little bit more of Dreaming of a White Christmas.
Of a white Christmas, just like the ones I should know, where the treetops glisten and children listen in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write, may your days be merry. Open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. What fun to ride and sing in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Rip. Jingle bells, jingle bells.
Posloucháte Rádio Praha, vysílání Českého rozhlasu do zahraničí.